Discover trends and global developments years before they happen, right here on the Alex Jones Show.
Well, let me tell you, we are manning the guns in the information war. We're having victory thanks to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But I will tell you, we are under sustained attack, not just in the media, but by operations behind the scenes that we'll soon be revealing. There is so much to get to, so much to break down here today. You know, I am rarely ashamed of myself, and I came up here 2 or 3 hours before the broadcast today. I don't normally do that on Sunday. I get ready at home. But it's so much preparation last night and today for this broadcast because I don't normally get up on air and say that I'm ashamed of something I've done. And I don't do it to be self-deprecating. I don't do it as some type of apology stunt. I'm somebody that's very proud of 95% of what I've done in my life. I do it because we need to really all of us think about this so that we're more conscious in our lives when we are especially involved in political operations. And that said, because I've got so much to cover today, at the start of the next segment, I'm just going to briefly get into Steve Bannon. I have a certain arrogance to me. And I don't even know how to quantify it. It's that I'm so anti-infighting and so anti-talking crap behind people's backs and so high road that I refuse to get involved in intrigue and palace intrigue and behind-the-scenes things and just try to project onto people that I've decided they're in the liberty movement, that they're good, when the evidence mounted and mounted and mounted and mounted and mounted and mounted, they were bad. I kind of did what these people that are into The Secret or whatever, you know, the Oprah Winfrey stuff, just saying it's all going to be okay. I got so positive because of interfacing with you and interfacing with my own intent that I start projecting the positivity. And I can be super negative about the globalists because they admit they're devil-worshipping pedophiles. God, I've got stacks of news on that coming up. I get so focused on the globalists and Hollywood and Orthodox radical Islam and just all this stuff that I intellectually think, well, if I engage in infighting or exposing people that are doing bad in our movement, I'm adding to all this and I'm above it. So just as you can be super low involved in infighting, you can also be even lower not doing it and just ignoring like blinders on. I spent, I'm not going to exaggerate, even though it was my wife and I's first anniversary, she was like, what are you doing? I spent 5 hours yesterday, 5 hours researching, and I spent another good, let's not exaggerate, 4 hours this morning getting a crash course in Stephen Bannon and everything that happened. And I got so angry. I remember saying on air, why didn't Matt Drudge warn us? And I'm not lionizing Matt Drudge. I just have to say the truth. See, because everything that's my North Star is just the truth. My job's easy. Just tell the truth. Even if it hurts me. Why didn't Matt Drudge call and warn me? You know, he come visit me. Why didn't he warn me that Bannon was so horrible and he knew? And I'll be honest, the last 6 months since Drudge started really exposing him, I just never really saw it. I never really paid it. A few times, though, I did see it and was like, oh, whatever. I'm sure some of you know. When if somebody really helped the country and only selflessly helped me and proved they really had good discernment, why didn't I, when Matt Drudge rang the alarm bell about, and then I remember everything now, the behind-the-scenes stuff and Bannon trying to meet with me and all the weirdness and all the leaks were from him. He was the one undermining like a Sith Lord. He was the one the whole time in there sabotaging Trump. And as soon as he was gone, everything got better and we got the agenda through. And then they even had me on air bitching about Kelly and all these other, Jared Kushner, when they were the ones actually helping Trump get the agenda through. Because Trump's in charge. I mean, it was just like, it's few things do I feel embarrassed about. And I do. And I'm sharing it so we don't make the mistake again.
front lines of the information war. It's Alex Jones.
What we are looking at. Understand, the people whose manufacturing jobs have left, who've been besieged by high crime communities, and who've been affected by a policy of uncontrolled immigration, those voices, those experiences don't get covered on this network. That's so, why, to prove the point, I was booked to talk about the very issues I'm just describing, and you're not even asking about them, because they're not interesting facts to you.
That's not true. I have plenty of questions on immigration. You've attempted to filibuster by talking about your flights.
No,
with the president.
I
want to ask you a question, because
don't be condescending. The reason why I want to talk about the president's experiences, what I've seen with him traveling to meet dozens of foreign leaders, with his incredible work.
Okay, you're not answering the questions.
No,
I understand.
You have 24 hours a day of anti-Trump material.
You're
not going to give 3 minutes for the American people the real experience of Donald Trump.
There's one viewer that you care about right now, and you're being obsequious.
No, you're being a factotum in order to please him.
Okay.
No,
and I think I've wasted enough of my viewers' time. As Republicans lawmakers call for Attorney General Jeff Sessions to resign, in a major reversal, Democrats are now coming to his defense. What changed? We'll ask the top Democrat.
So that was Jake Tapper panicking this weekend and cutting the White House communications officer, Stephen Miller, off. And I've watched the whole interview. It was riveting to see him march into the devil's palace, right into hell, and stand up against those guys. And in the full clip, he gets into, hey, you're the ones that put out the fake quote that Trump directed General Flynn to meet months before he was even elected with the Russians, knowing it was fake. You're the ones that reported on and on and on and on and on all this fake news. And Tapper didn't want to discuss it. He said, you're not answering our questions. He'd already been there 20 minutes answering all the questions. But they didn't want somebody to stand up for truth. You know that when Larry King left CNN, he had about 8 million viewers a night. At his peak, he had about 20 million. It's one of the hottest shows ever. When Piers Morgan left, he had about 400,000 viewers on a good night. I got there in the middle of it, and he still had about 1.5 million viewers. He had 3 million the night I was on, 4 million the night after that, 5 million, 6 million. And he went up to over 6 million in the week after, but then it imploded because he was like a dying star or a dead cat bouncing. Why, if somebody gave them the best ratings that show ever had, they admitted that in the news. They had the Nielsen ratings out at the end of the year, 2013. They said Alex Jones on Piers Morgan was the number one ratings Piers Morgan ever had. They didn't want meth head Hollywood stars. They wanted straight shooting. But I don't need to go on there to get that. We have videos with 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 million views every week, despite their censorship. The point was, if it was ratings they're looking for, why was I never back? Because they don't like the bald face. Hey, I'm calling your curtain. I'm calling your Alice in Wonderland. I'm calling your Wizard of Oz. Toto, pull back the curtain. They don't know what to do when a Stephen Miller marches in, who, by the way, I've now done my research. I'm just so busy. I haven't focused on King's Court stuff. I did a crash course yesterday and today, read 200 articles, probably scanned another couple hundred, probably watched 100 videos, okay, or more in the last week. And I figured out Stephen Miller is the guy that Trump likes. We don't know it. Stephen Miller's the guy that wrote the memos that stayed up with Trump 18 hours a day. Bannon was never even there. He's so lazy on whatever he's doing with his body that he never gets seen. He's reclusive, very paranoid. It was Miller that could keep up with Trump when Trump was 70, now 71. It was Miller, 30-something years old. Then I researched Miller, and I remembered Miller. It's not about Miller or even Trump. It's about their path and who they are. And this is a guy in high school that was anti-communist, and it was against the left creating anti-white racism. He's a Jewish guy, but he recognizes race-based stuff, and he comes from a liberal family, and from what I read. But he was like, oh, my God, this is like Nazi, but it's against white people. So they call him a white nationalist because he's a guy that's anti-racist. He sounds like Martin Luther King, if you actually listen to Martin Luther King. But that's how far they've come. So here's Stephen Miller on there just telling the truth. And Jake Tapper, I mean, I watched the whole thing like twice. I didn't watch watched some of it three times. The point was, is that he destroyed him, and Tapper went to break early and didn't know what to do. Because a 31, 32-year-old person who's actually immersed in things and researches everything had every angle of what they were about to try and what they were about to do. And then I began to see it was Miller would transcribe what the president said and say, what about this, sir, and add a point or two. And it was Miller. And what's crazy is, that's what's crazy, is I know Trump isn't word for word copying my talking points. They're just truth. I'm so synced up, it's Miller I've been synced up with, because I can say stuff at the same time I found Miller giving a press conference, and it's the same thing, because it's the truth. Hey, you know, you go, as soon as Miller heard about this book, he looks up, okay, who is this Michael Wolff? A known charlatan, known yellow journalism, a guy quoted his, hundreds of witnesses saying that he manufactures quotes. Okay, oh, eyewitnesses in journalistic schools, left and right, say this guy manufactures quotes and is literally a wolf in journalistic clothing and is a total, absolute charlatan, and Bannon let him in, blah, blah, blah. And then Miller says the exact same thing, sometimes before me, sometimes after, because if we're looking at the same red fire engine, we're looking at this, and see, that's the difference. The globalists, they put out a talking point that says the fire engine's purple. Or it's pink, or it's black. No, it's flaming red. And it's the same thing. It's like them saying, Trump's insane, Trump's a failure, Trump's going down. Oh, really? This is out of the Labor Statistics Bureau, ladies and gentlemen. Record black employment. Record white, Hispanic employment. Record stock market. Record thousands of new companies coming back. Zero Hedge was a great job. The story's on Infowars.com. Number of black people not in labor force reaches all-time high. As with other BLS data, it is amazing how when you change the rules, everything looks better. The BLS reported black unemployment, 6.8 in December, at all-time low. It was like 15 points under Obama at one point. That's kind of funny, considering around 40% of working-age black people are not working. These statistics do not include the 2 to 3 million black men sitting in prison. And then it goes over again. Judge a tree by its fruits. And it goes on and on and on. And you know how happy I was when I learned, when my top CPA came in and he said, Alex, Trump has raised taxes on you and me. We're both big libertarian patriots. But he said, doesn't matter. We're all going to be more successful, and so is America. Massive cuts to the middle class and poor. Massive incentives for factories. Massive bonuses coming. Doubling the child credit to help families. This is $13,000 for the average family, not to mention what happens in the economy. My CPA, who's on the board of some major corporations, he estimates that this is going to people that want to work, after you add the tax cut and money, up to $32,000 per family of working men and women. I mean, let me tell you something. Call me a cheeseball. Call me a nerd. Call me an idiot. Call me a mark, because I'm not a sociopath. I feel real good promoting something that does that. And to know that my property taxes got jacked up and my state income tax, we don't have in Texas, but they have it under the franchise deal. So I do have a property tax. Most people don't. At a certain level, you get it. To know that I'm paying more taxes. I pay 2% less on income tax, but way more on everything else, with a $10,000 cap on all state taxes, which I know will then supercharge the economy and make states lower taxes. It's just genius what's just happened. There was some pork and some Christmas tree stuff there under the Christmas tree, but it's just so exciting, ladies and gentlemen, to be alive right now and to see this happening and to know that the globalists want us at each other's throats. They want us poor. They want us dumbed down. And to see Trump delivering like this and to see them panicking so hard. And to then, because I don't do research on castle intrigue and the people themselves. Once I did it on Trump, and that was it. I do it on what's happening with the big global picture, the globalist plan, where they're taking us, how we stop that, prosperity, free market, family. But I don't sit there like everybody else is and obsess over, because I already got my big platform. I'm not trying to get into a platform. But then I got played by Bannon and others by just going, oh, Bannon's the nationalist. He's the one defending it. He was the one sabotaging it and leaking everything the whole time. And we now know and understand it. So you learn something every day.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Don't try me.
lot of corporate interest crept into the Western world and the third world, the old world as well, with high-tech radio and television and then movies. And people that had never experienced it before fell hook, line, and sinker for the propaganda that was embedded in it. Because at first the propaganda was pretty pro-family, pro-God, pro-sovereignty. They knew how to get you addicted first. But the globalists took the fact that they had America under a spell for the fact that they had intimidated America or the human spirit. Whether you're in Mexico or South Africa or Germany or Japan, it doesn't matter. And because they're cowards, they're scumbags. So they think you're operating according to fear instead of being an open, loving person who's not perfect but has goodwill for people. And so they study evil. They study ways to oppress people. And they think we're fools because we don't do that, because we're God-fearing. They don't have a connection to God, so they don't spiritually, when they even think about something evil, have that recoiling, which is a fear of God, not a fear of man. And this is very important because criminology shows this. The research shows this. I've interviewed, as many of you have heard, the top psychiatrist and psychologist for serial killers, you name it. The more evil you are, the more programmed. There's only maybe 20 different types of evil people. And it's beyond the tabletop psychology or pop psychology you see. It's the real criminology. And people that are into it are shook up because if you were an atheist before, you become a religious person very, very quickly because you realize you're facing a program. You're facing something that people are manifesting that's shining through them. It's like mob psychology's proven. Everybody's happy at a big party. Everything's good. Stuff starts going bad. It gets real negative. But it's not just the behavior. It's a spiritual transmission. It's a internet of minds that is transmitting. And the globalists know about this and spend all their time trying to manipulate that for their own personal power instead of empowering everybody and then themselves rising. And that's the difference between a follower of God and a follower of Satan. Satan wants it all. Satan doesn't want free will. And so Satan is a delusional narcissist, borderline personality disorder, psychotic, who can't even imagine what it's like to be in the real world inside the utopia that is God's mind. You've already been delivered. You've already been successful. You already have the keys of the kingdom. You already understand it. The psychopath, the devil worshiper, thinks that you're weak because you don't want to tear people apart. And then they can never understand, once good people finally come after them, what's happening. You're supposed to be afraid of me. You're supposed to not, I'm supposed to rule you. No, you are only the test to keep the people faithful. Now, that said, there's a manifestation happening in a big way where Hollywood is admitting it's satanic. Hollywood is admitting it's pedophilic. They're having major newspapers in the UK say, here's sex manuals to have sex with kids. The biggest paper in London, the Metro. That's their attempt when we expose them to go, okay, normalize, we're not bad, let us do what we're doing. And that's why you see Chelsea Clinton tweeting the Church of Satan, how cool she thinks they are, how she likes them, and then retweeting them last week, and then saying, oh, I'm not a Satanist. Yeah, we've seen the spirit cooking email, sweetheart. Only a bug-eyed, slack-jawed, genetically fallen sack of garbage like you would want to believe me, sweetheart. You're spiritually ugly. We know why you're into Satanism. And I don't say that to be mean. I just want people to realize there's not power in the devil. There's enslavement and there's failure. So there's a powerful article that is at Hannity.com. You guys got me the Daily Beast, and that's great, but just I think I sent the clip today. Maybe it didn't come through. But if you just type in this exact headline, it'll come up. Let me give that exact headline. It is Democrats blame the rise of Satanism on Donald Trump. Hell, I'll pull it up on my phone right here. And I know you're working on it, but I'm just saying I've got it right here in the text messages I sent. It's great. I asked for it. I just got a couple other ones. And they said, oh, the reason Satanism's exploding in the left and the reason all this is happening is Trump has made people so desperate they're turning to the devil. No, they already turned to the devil. And my point is that this is the type of crazy garbage that they're pushing. This is who they think we are. This is how dumb they think we are. And it goes on and on and on and on from there. So when you look at that and you think about that mindset and you think about people that are, and we'll have the article next segment for you. When you think about just how incredibly turned over to selfishness these people are, then it makes total sense when President Trump is doing all these amazing things and empowering the average person. They want you dependent, not independent. Then you understand the LA Times article. Let's put it up on screen. Thanks for finding it, crew. A new generation of LA Satanists finds community in blasphemous times. And it gets into how they believe they're turning themselves over to pure evil to counter the evil that is Trump. LA Times article suggests Trump is driving people into Satanism. Now, I see the news every day, and it tends to be the most beautiful women and the most handsome men who really get on this power trip about themselves that they're supposed to be movie stars or they're supposed to be incredibly powerful. And then because you're a beautiful Hungarian woman and you're a handsome German man, but you didn't get the movie roles and you didn't get the, and it didn't happen, that you believe doesn't matter. Satan will love you when you enter hell. So the Daily Mail reports on a woman and her husband on their wedding honeymoon, slitting their wrist and committing suicide together in Spain last week, or it was Greece. I'm going from memory. You can pull that up. It's linked on Infowars.com. But the point is, you look at this young woman, and she's a beautiful young woman. He's a good-looking guy. And the power trip is so strong that they don't feel like they're cool, that somehow if they hurt themselves, that'll give them real power. Now, I'll give it to them. Normally, Satanists will kill a little kid to think, well, you get real power once you do these horrible things. At least to get the power, they killed themselves, which shows they weren't true Satanists. I think they had so much humanity in them that they didn't see that their humanity ordered them to kill themselves. And that's why you shouldn't dabble in Satanism, because your body, your subconscious, will order you to kill yourself. Stay with us.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Watch me! Watch me! I got it! Watch me! I got it! Hey! I got something that makes me want to shout. I got something that tells me what it's all about. I got soul, and I'm super bad.
I'm a little bit late getting back for this segment because we've got CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, got mainstream dinosaur media on the control room, and I saw the weekend Fox show comparing Michael Wolff, who is literally the BuzzFeed of individual reporters. I mean, BuzzFeed has a long train of made-up stories and edited tapes and fraud. They've been sued and lost lawsuits. They're going bankrupt because of it. The PP gate, it just goes on. The stuff about me, just incredible horse manure. That's why I'm not worried about it. It's like, there's not much I'm actually embarrassed of in my life, and what have they not already made up? It just gets crazy. But they were comparing Michael Wolff to Dr. Evil. At least Dr. Evil goes out and actually takes people on. No, he doesn't look like Dr. Evil. There was one photo I saw on Friday morning on my phone of him actually smiling. You can't find Wolf anywhere. Somebody finds it, email it, because I couldn't find it again, to showtips@infowars.com. Nobody can find the author of this made-up book, this piece of garbage, this pile of garbage. Nobody can find a photo of me smiling. So I made the point that it looks like Brian Stelter's father. And I did this tongue-in-cheek piece about Brian Stelter runs your life. Brian Stelter wants to control you. But I said, I mean mainstream media, he's an archetype. Well, they edited it together and said that I literally say Brian Stelter runs your life and Brian Stelter drinks your children's blood. I said they drink your children's future. He pushes lies on the family, so he's drinking our children's blood. But if we could put the image up that I've seen of the two side by side, Stelter put out a tweet with this tiny CNN failed show and said, glad you put out a good photo of me. That was the whole point of the rant. Who in the hell that looks like somebody out of central casting as not a serial killer, and I'm not saying Brian Stelter's a child molester. He just looks like, in my mind, what a child molester looks like. I'm sure he's a great family guy and everything. Wolf looks like a slime ball in this photo. But, I mean, if I find the photo of him smiling, I mean, it's like hair on the back of your neck stands up. But let's not just say what they look like, because you can say I look like a child molester, okay? You can say Bugs Bunny looks like one, but do I look like one? Here, let's pull up my mugshot on Wikipedia, and let's say, do you look at that guy? What do you think that guy's going to do? I mean, who sits there? Pull Stelter back up for a moment for me. Because, again, if you're a radio listener, you're like, show me, yes. We're a radio/TV show. I was the first to do it going back, but on air 23 years, but going back 18 years ago, I began to not just simulcast a webcam. I began to simulcast video or tapes of what I did so people could see what I was saying. If someone doesn't know, and this is a powerful image, but if you just kind of back it out where it's the head as well, because he's known to shave his head just to look old. This is what a joke he is. Can you imagine actually smiling like this and thinking it makes you look credible? For TV viewers, here it is. I mean, it's the Joker. But that's what I've learned about sociopaths, psychopaths, and globalists, is they always go, I can't even make the face Wolf does. Let me try to make it. And they'll use it against me because it's disingenuous. But I really get the spirit. Let me see. I hate America, hate freedom, love to lie. I have a real low self-esteem level. I'm a piece of garbage. But I want to prove to everybody I've got the big wave-o. So let me just try. I can't even do it. Just like, I cannot. These are the creepiest damn people. I would not. If my waiter walked up and looked like this, I would leave. If they tried to sell me a car, I would run. If I was a woman and somebody walked up to me like Stelter, and I mean, imagine you're posing for your CNN photo and this is what you do. Look, imagine. Just, I'm Brian Stelter. Hello. Hope you're doing well tonight. He doesn't know how psychotic he looks. Maybe he does. I'm powerful. I am Brian Stelter. And maybe the executives above him look even more jack-o'-lantern face. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's just my gut. My gut hates these guys. And then, of course, what flows out of their mouth, that's really a giant ass, the diarrhea that comes out of their asses, I'm trying to stop. I just have to be honest. Well, the filth, the froth that comes out of their mouth is just unbelievable. I had some really heavy stuff I was going to cover, and I've got stacks of news here. It just comes down to this fundamental thing that, can you imagine being the type of globalist tart that Stelter is, that he literally posed for publicity photos, and half of them he looks like the serial killer mugshot, okay? If anybody, because I joke around sometimes and take photos that look creepy as a joke, and the media runs with them. Can you imagine, as your official publicity photo, putting this out? I can't even do it. It's like so fake. It's like a, you can trust me. Just let us run your kids. Let us have your families. Oh, the economy's not doing well. Trump's, look at that. Look, God. Oh, my God. Oh, I'm not just saying it. He People ask why I'm after Stelter. He just is so evil looking. My soul has serious pain looking at him. There's only one other person that makes me more nauseous, and that's Hillary Clinton. But look at the entitlement, the surety that I've made it. I've been embracing the black wings of the New World Order, and I'm here, and I'm going to rape your mind, and oh, God, it's so much fun. I'm going to be a good boy now. I've got really important, pertinent notes I wrote. I rarely write notes for the show, but I've got some important stuff I want to say in the next segment. And I've got a bunch of clips. We had a clock in here, but I heard that computer broke down. We're going to get it back someday. Can you, what do we got, 3 minutes to break? I want to play one more clip here just to be positive and look at somebody that comes off as genuine like the president, and that's somebody I've always liked that we now learn was the true brain of Bannon that Brandon took credit for, the guy that actually wrote all the stuff that Trump added to. I mean, I'm not saying it wasn't Trump, but it was Trump resonates with Stephen Miller. And so since you guys are telling me how long do I have? 2 minutes. Thank you. I'm going to go ahead and play White House aide Stephen Miller calls Bannon's comments grotesque. Here it is.
President Trump and the White House have been calling the Russia investigation a witch hunt and a nothing burger. But obviously, in this new Michael Wolff book, Fire and Fury, Bannon offered a different take on the Trump Tower meeting between Donald Trump Jr., Jared Kushner, Paul Manafort, and these other officials, including a Russian lawyer. He called it treasonous and unpatriotic. And he said that, quote, the chance that Don Jr. did not walk these Jamos up to his father's office on the 26th floor is zero. Did President Trump meet with any the so-called...
I'm going to come back from break and play this all. But no one's even from Mueller ever said that. And that's the thing. I should have started the show with this. I said back when this all broke on Wednesday or Thursday, it seems like a lifetime ago, I said, why isn't Bannon saying he's misquoted by a known charlatan? And why isn't he doing anything? This shows he's behind it. He never even walked back the clips. He apologized today and said, I'm sorry if it was taken wrong. I think these people are all great. It's exactly what you'd do if you were a charlatan, which is what we already know, which is what we know about the leaking and everything else. But again, it is grotesque to be brought into something and then the whole time be leaking to the media, acting like you're not doing it, and then pose to everybody. I'm just so glad a few months ago, 3-4 months ago, whatever it was, whenever Bannon wanted me to toady up to New York and come into a meeting with him, that I didn't go. Roger Stone was happy to go. I sent him. And Roger's a nice guy and has not told anybody what went on in the meeting, but I'm so sick of being held in confidence. Man, he just said, let's just say this, Roger Stone's never liked Bannon, which makes it worse because Stone and I smoked a lot of Bannon's BS dope. And I don't mean cannabis. I mean his Bravo Sierra. We'll be back. Stay with us.
You're listening to the antidote for fake news. It's Alex Jones.
Sometimes I feel I've got to.
Welcome back. I'm Alex Jones, your host. Newswars.com, PrisonPlanet.com, Infowars.com. We're about to get into some hard news here, but it was the crew that pointed this out, and that's how the zeitgeist works. I saw this last night and this morning doing research into a bunch of different issues, that Jared Fogle, the former Subway guy, the convicted pedophile, listeners noticed that when I kept showing him, and I didn't know this was a meme already online, creepy Jared Fogle, creepy Brian Stelter, creepy Joe Biden, that the guys look like they could be brothers, very, very close. And again, I'm not saying anything about Brian Stelter's a yellow journalist, a globalist, in my view, a fraud. I'm just saying, why do these people all look the same? Can we put Michael Wolff up on screen? Let's put old Wolff up. And again, I found one photo Friday morning of Wolff smiling, and no one can find it. But just there's a self-assuredness, a pleasure, an enjoyment about them. And then everything that comes out of them is a fraud. So let's put up my mugshot. I don't normally put out things that aren't true on purpose. But when I do put out things that aren't exactly right, well, it wasn't wrong. I was asking the question. About a week and a half ago, I took the mugshot photo, or the, I guess, passport photo, to go to Russia. I mean, I've been hearing I work for Russia for 3 years and congressional hearings and all, and it's all falling apart and it's not true. I've never been to Russia. I've never been to Eastern Europe yet. I've been to Europe many times. So I thought, okay, well, let's get a visa. But like any other country other than the U.S., you got to go months before and get a visa. And they want me to go on national TV and speak to universities, a bunch of other stuff. I'm going to go promote Americana and free market over there. You know, 30 years ago, the CIA would have paid me to do it, but now it's called treason. So it was crazy. Without even looking, I saw when I typed my name into Google to do a search to see what the latest hit piece was, because I monitored every few hours, I saw my image from what I'd taken as the shot here in the office going down to the Russian embassy in Houston. And I was like, how is my passport photo for a Russian visa, how is that on Wikipedia? And then they went, Alex, you don't know how to read Wikipedia, the crew told me. It's Michael Zimmerman, one of our great video editors and researchers, is going to go to Russia with us. He went and helped, you know, put in the stuff for the visas. He thought it'd be a better photo for you on Wikipedia. He did it. So I had tweeted out last night, this is weird. A week ago or so, we took this photo for me to go to Russia. And then now it's on Wikipedia, and now I know why. So it's an authorized photo. But that's an example of the left hand not knowing what the right hand's doing. But let's just put me back up on screen. Let's just look. I mean, let's be honest. If you're a radio listener, you obviously can't see it. Infowars.com/show. Does that guy look like he wants to screw you over? Or does that guy look like he wants to break people's necks and screw people over? And the reason I raise that is there's a bunch of studies on this, but a big one came out last week out of the Journal of Science and several others, but one last week where within an hour to 2 hours of you being infected by a bacteria, where they did this in the studies, or a virus, it's not even replicating, it hasn't even spread yet, almost 100% of the time, respondents at universities could tell you were sick just by looking at a photo taken between an hour and 2 hours after you were infected. Now, isn't that amazing? It's like I said last week. Trump has this famous quote where he says, the deepest thing I ever did was learn to be shallow. Used to, I'd sit there and overanalyze stuff. Now I learned to call it my first approximation. So let's put Brian Stelter back up if we can. Let's put Michael Wolff back up. Not just their history of lies and BS and disinfo, but look at that guy. If you walked into a friend's house and there was a party and a dude walked up and smiled at you like that, I personally would go to my friend and say, who the hell is this? I mean, if I look at the convicted pedophile that is the former head of the former spokesperson for Subway, who's in prison enjoying a footlong right now. If I looked at that, I would say, holy Toledo, run, don't walk. But see, I'm not saying, and I don't believe Stelter is a convicted pedophile like this guy. It's a spirit of a predator. Is what I'm saying. And at a gut level now, I'm learning at 43, about to be 44, to do something when I was like 15, I never followed my gut. When I was 20, I followed it sometimes. When I was 30, I followed it a third of the time. When I was 35, maybe half the time. I'm now becoming a person completely run by my gut. I go off research, I cover it, but what's happened is, and it's actually incredibly empowering, it's the greatest thing in my life. I am totally turning myself over to my spirit. We call it the gut, but it's the great collective. It's your individual connection to the great collective. See, globalists say, be a collective, think what we want. No. You're an individual that plugs into the collective, and not just currently alive people. It's been proven you're plugging in electrochemically to a compressed, just like there is with software or music or files. You're dialing into compressed knowledge. And what's crazy about human knowledge is evil people get the first layer and then use it to control people. They don't know that only people that are truly committed to the spirit deep dive. And I'm not trying to get metaphysical here. I can't help it. I am deep diving so much now into my ancestry, into who I am, into what I stand for. And I love you so much. I love black people so much. I love Hispanics. I love white people. We're all mongrels. We're all from this. I just love you so much. And I just want to succeed. It is so empowering that I don't even fear anything now except failure of our species. I love my children more than anything, and I love them so much that I have to not let them be used as pawns in this. I have to not let the enemy use them as a threat against me. I have to do some strong things. And I'm proud of it. So, because they don't have any future if we don't beat this. We're all in this together. We're all going down together. And it's all being manifested. My God, they're in hundreds of publications a day now. New York Times, Washington Post, LA Times saying, we are devil worshipers. We are going to kill you. To everybody. And they're doing that because they're scared. They've been creeping around and now they're exposed. And I am just so honored to be here with you, as impure as any of us are, standing against this. Because this is what it's all about. And make no mistake, ladies and gentlemen, our entire future is on the line. Our children are on the line. And I don't care where you come from or who you are or what you do. It isn't about left wing. It's not about right wing. It's about humanity, and it's about coming together. And I just want you to know that you got to go with your spirit. And we already got to go to break, and I haven't played this clip yet. Let's go out to break since I cut it off with the Stephen Miller clip where he talks about Bannon. It isn't about Bannon. It's about betrayal. And it's about now knowing who did leak everything. And I even knew 6 months ago, and I chose to try to ignore it to be the big guy. But sometimes you can't be, it's not even pure. You think you're being pure staying out of it because everybody else jumps into it. But what the real purity is gauging when you've got to be involved, when you're not involved, and realizing sometimes the enemy's in our camp, which everybody knows. You're like, Alex, tell us something we don't know. I know that. I know that. I just... It doesn't shake me up. Because I could take one look at Stephen Bannon and see that he was a self-centered globalist Hollywood takeover operation of Breitbart. They thought they could take that over from what Drudge and Breitbart created and lead the movement. And Trump just took it in so he could analyze what it was doing and then flush it out. And... makes me sick, though. But I know that I'm going to deliver. Just like Trump's delivering on the economy and delivering against political correctness and delivering for the veterans and delivering with our sovereignty, he is dynamiting at every level what they push and what they've done. So I'm going to come back and play those clips, and then we probably should open the phones up. It's just I wrote all these notes today I wanted to get into as well. I'll try to get into some of those. But what hit me the strongest today, as I was driving to work at like noon, what hit me like a pole axe, like a ton of bricks, like a lead pipe, was we're right. The globalists really are as bad as we say they are. And they really are out to get us. And they really are fallen. There really is a devil. There really is a God. We really are on a planet. And it's all up to us. And it's so real. And then the movies and the Hollywood and the NFL and people posing on red carpets don't mean anything anymore. What matters is getting yourself lined up with God. That's the greatest treasure you could ever imagine. Stay with us, hour number two. Straight ahead. Please spread the live links. That's an act of rebellion.
He aligns himself with the truth, and it's time for you to choose a side. You're listening to Alex Jones.
All right, I'm going to hit a bunch of news in the next segment. Right now, since I keep mentioning, let me play this clip of somebody that I've seen, that I've really liked, that's been dead on, and who we now know was basically helping Trump write the talking points of what Trump already believed, not Stephen Bannon. I mean, I already knew Bannon was never on the trail. Bannon was always slobbing around. Let's put this photo of Bannon up. And I don't, here's the thing. I don't end fight. I don't attack people that they stab us in the back. And man, that's Bannon years ago. I've talked to folks that have been around it, and it just shows how fallen he is. And the fact that he thinks he can then come apologize without even apologizing 5 days later. The time to do it was when it was first put out, which shows you thought your gamble, because you were Bannon close to Trump, that that would knock him down and that you'd have this big trophy for your pissing contest. I never get why these lesser men look for greater men's trophies on their walls. If I was a great man, I'd want great men that were good to live forever and great women. I wouldn't want to see them fall because that would be an aspect of myself falling. But you're not a king, Bannon. You don't know the things of nobility. The peasants know nobility. The people know nobility. The kings know nobility. But the chicken, you know what, SHII, you know what, T. The chicken, you know what dimension, it doesn't know it. It only knows conquest. And Bannon is an archetype and a test for all of us. I don't spend time on him because he's even important. He's been obsolete for months. It's that to learn that he was the mole. He was the traitor, confirmed. And then I was all about unity and just ignoring and fighting, and I'm a schmuck. But you know what? Admitting I'm a schmuck helps me not become one again. Because it's arrogant people like him that can't admit defeat and get better next time. I admit it. I should have known. I mean, everything with Breitbart was 100% one way. The devil is never a maker. The less that you give, you're the taker. To quote Rodney James Dio in Heaven and Hell. It's absolutely true. They can't give even though it helps them. They don't get it. They don't build worlds. They don't build systems. They don't build Breitbart or help build InfoWars like Matt Drudge did. Yes, we were here. We did a lot of work. The listeners did most of it, but there's that magic stardust. Devils don't build. They come in. They take over after somebody dies. I'm going to stop right there. Let's go ahead and play Stephen Miller, who was 15 years old doing this 17, 18 years ago. That's when you know somebody's real. Here it is.
President Trump and the White House have been calling the Russia investigation a witch hunt and a nothing burger. But obviously, in this new Michael Wolff book, Fire and Fury, Bannon offered a different take on the Trump Tower meeting between Donald Trump Jr., Jared Kushner, Paul Manafort, and these other officials, including a Russian lawyer. He called it treasonous and unpatriotic. And he said that, quote, the chance that Don Jr. did not walk these JMOs up to his father's office on the 26th floor is zero. Did President Trump meet with any of the so-called JMOs who were in that Trump Tower meeting?
Steve Bannon's eloquence in that description notwithstanding, it's tragic and unfortunate that Steve would make these grotesque comments so out of touch with reality and obviously so vindictive. And the whole White House staff is deeply disappointed in his comments, which were grotesque. And with respect to the Trump Tower meeting that he's talking about, he wasn't even there when any of this went down, so he's not really a remotely credible source on any of it. It reads like an angry, vindictive person spouting off to a highly discreditable author. The book is best understood as a work of very poorly written fiction. And I also
stay there. Back this up. I want to finish this. I got a bunch of these clips from him. Makes me sick that I got conned. Because Bannon never produced nothing. All Trump's doing is delivering, just like you, the voters, did. They call us walking corpses.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
The globalists said America, Western society, free market was dead. They had all the communist hells to offer us heaven. But humanity came alive and they said no. We have the submarine individual joining us coming up. I probably need a guest sheet. Sorry, I forgot to tell you guys that. Who Trump keeps pointing out, took a photo of a 40-year-old submarine, and then somebody found it in a junk pile, if you believe that, and then he was sent to prison for a couple of years. We've had Saussure's his name on before. He's coming back on, because now Trump, he's going, Hillary has 30,000 emails, all this secret stuff, she's sharing it all. Petraeus, you know, gets a conviction for a couple of secret things he took home in his briefcase that his girlfriend, that was probably an operative, leaked out. I mean, not defending Petraeus either, but man, this is like sending somebody to jail because they stole a dollar, but not sending them to jail because he stole $1 billion. Navy sailor in jail for submarine photos. Pleas for mercy from Trump. He wants a pardon from it. He has a criminal background now because of this. No criminal background previously. He's joining us in the next segment. But because I said I'd get to it, let's go ahead here and let's go to this next clip. Finishing up with Stephen Miller, the White House communications director, getting into the grotesqueness of what Bannon did. Again, I'm not obsessing on Bannon. He was already a dead letter. We're doing it so that people understand the anatomy of betrayal. Because here's the thing. My greatest weakness is I take people at face value, at the low level, at the big international level, and things like an endless data and like I always get it right and blah, blah, blah. But then if I personally interface with somebody, I then give them benefit of the doubt, which is fine to do. But like Reagan would say, trust but verify. So again, let's finish up with Stephen Miller. Here it is.
It's tragic and unfortunate that Steve would make these grotesque comments so out of touch with reality and obviously so vindictive. And the whole White House staff is deeply disappointed in his comments.
Hey, boss, I'm sorry.
Which were wrote.
So vindictive. I mean, he finally, 5 days later, says, I'm sorry. I think people are great. He doesn't say the quotes are wrong because he knows it's been recorded. I thought the horrible reporter of a history of, you know, disinfo, it was his fault day one. People were mad at me saying, no, Trump says he's full of crap. And I said, well, let's hear from Bannon. And then now people that said I was wrong, you notice CNN, Associated Press, Reuters, Bannon, all of them say, well, Bannon says he should have come out earlier, blah, blah, blah. But, oh, CNN says Bannon did it because Trump attacked him. At 5 in the afternoon, this thing comes out at like 6 a.m. So 6 hours, 5 hours. 11 hours later, that's a lifetime. No, Bannon wanted to see if his base went with him, which it wasn't his base. It was a pure, just crazy power trip, a reckless power trip, even if you were like a Satanist. But again, these Satanists, even if he's not a Satanist in his own heart, I mean, that's what it is. Recklessness, power trip, thinking about other things, you know, other than yourself, only thinking about yourself. That's what it is. So again, that's the fraud that is Stephen Bannon. Let's continue.
In his comments, which were grotesque. And with respect to the Trump Tower meeting that he's talking about, he wasn't even there when this went down. So he's not
really. Oh, yeah, pause again. He's not there for months. And then he says, oh, he went up to see Trump. Trump's a Russian agent. And then he thinks he can paper over it with, oh, I like everybody since my plan didn't work. And if we let him back in, it's our fault. I'm ashamed for just not seeing it. I apologize and feel guilty, even though I wasn't involved, just one way supporting Breitbart. They never linked to me. They never helped us. I don't care. Had a lot of good articles, but it wasn't Stephen Bannon. It was people like Stephen Miller there that did that. Bannon, let me tell you something right now. I want the people over there at Breitbart to know something, whatever threats he's got, whatever thing he claims he has leverage. This guy's 110% done. And if you don't feel the will of the people and you act like a bunch of cowards, I think it goes back to however you got control of Breitbart to begin with. So you all been threatened, whatever. It's time to man up, time to do the right thing and understand. Here's the message. Because I'm asking for war with Bannon. I didn't sit there and be nice to him because, oh, he's God, he's Steve Bannon. He might say something bad about me. I love it. Do whatever. I did it because maybe I thought I wasn't going to be a backbiter and wouldn't be jealous of something that was successful. I wanted to win. But now I tell you, if you don't get rid of Stephen Bannon, that's your choice. I'm going to oppose you. And you need to get that through your head. And I'm not somebody who shoots my mouth off about things, but my listeners and our reach is 5 times Breitbart. And so you need to understand something right now that Steve Benedict Arnold Bannon deserves to be thrown down a political mineshaft. And if you don't do that and play some side deal to let him still creep around as a big frickin' slob. That after we destroyed the fake Russia narrative and all these victories and brought back the economy and did all this together, he did this crappy thing. If you don't throw him off the plank into whatever hell he wants to live in, then I hold you personally responsible. And I'm giving you upfront notice right now that I'm not Andrew Breitbart. He was a great guy, smart guy. I'm not Andrew Breitbart. You understand? You understand right now? You're not playing with Breitbart. You're playing with the real deep state of America, the people. The deep state, don't worry about. Worry about the real deep state. Christians, conservatives, libertarians, good people that hate evil. There's not some secret organization, some code here. This is spiritual. We're connected together, and we're ready for war. And all you slobs think just because we hold back that we're weak, you're going to find out. Let's go to the next clip. Finish this clip, then I want to go to the clip with him where Jake Tapper flips out and cuts the segment short. Here it is.
Understand. The people whose manufacturing jobs have left, who've been besieged by high-crime communities, and who've been affected by a policy of uncontrolled immigration, those voices, those experiences, don't get covered on this network. That's why, to prove the point, I was booked to talk about the very issues I'm just describing, and you're not even asking about them, because they're not interesting facts to you.
That's not true. I have plenty of questions on immigration. You've attempted to filibuster by talking about your flights.
No,
with the
I'm
president.
Not. I'm, no,
I want to ask you a question because
don't be condescending. Jake,
the reason why I want to talk about
the president's experiences, what I've seen with him traveling to meet dozens of foreign leaders, with his incredible work.
Okay, you're not answering the questions.
No,
I understand.
You have 24 hours a day of anti-Trump material.
You're
not going to give 3 minutes for the American people the real experience of Donald Trump.
There's one viewer that you care about right now, and you're being obsequious.
You're being a factotum in order
to please him, okay?
No.
And I think I've wasted enough of my viewers' time. As Republicans, lawmakers call for Attorney General Jeff Sessions to resign, in a major reversal, Democrats are now coming to his defense. What changed? We'll ask the top Democrat.
Let's change the subject. So here's where I stand. Just like when I was on Piers Morgan, had the best ratings he ever had for a week after I was on. It broke their will to just say you're full of crap. They cannot deal with it. They say, come on, talk about whatever you want. Once they get there, they go, oh, you're not supposed to talk about this. You're not supposed to talk about that. You're a bad person. When it's all a fraud, when they're a known fake network. We're going to go to break and come back with our next guest who was put in jail for a year or so for taking a photo of an old submarine that he was on board of. Why, we have no idea, but Hillary can run around and do something a million times worse, literally. That's coming up. But briefly, I haven't plugged in an hour and 15 minutes products. Free shipping ends tomorrow, InfoWarsStore.com. And we have over 1,000 high-quality items, incredible supplements, fluoride-free, emboldened and fortified with colloidal silver and iodine, super blue toothpaste, 50% off, and all the other best-selling products, between 50 and 67% off. Many of these are loss leaders because they're so amazing. I know you'll want to order more of them. InfoWarsStore.com or 888-253-3139. And I'll just say this, if you haven't figured it out yet, you never are going to, but I want to thank you all. You are the people that fund this operation, so we're counting on you. InfoWarsStore.com.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
So back during the campaign, President Trump today, but candidate Trump then, kept saying, why does Hillary have 30-plus thousand illegal emails and secret servers and foreign deals and foundations and uranium and all that? And then we've got Christian Saucier or Saucier of Help ChrisSaucier.com, this Navy veteran. I think it's very suspicious that, his camera got thrown in the landfill and showed a picture of a 40-year-old submarine he was on board. I mean, I'm not a submariner, but I've been on tours of decommissioned subs, both diesel and nuclear, many years ago. And, I mean, it's just like, this is like a joke. So he went to jail for, was a year or whatever. He can recap the story. And then meanwhile, you've got this total sellout to globalism. Help Chris Saucier, SAUCIER.com. But why he's back with us is he was on Fox News, Hannity last week. He was on with us months ago. Trump has brought him back up in tweets. Let's put Trump's tweet up if we can before we go to Christian. And it just crooked Hillary Clinton's top aide, Uma Abedin, has been accused of disregarding basic security protocols. She classified passwords in the hands of foreign agents. She put those in there. Remember sailors' pictures on a submarine? Jail. Deep State Justice Department must act. Also on Comey and others. Comey, admittedly, now the head of the Judiciary Committee, has come out and said it's clearly illegal, Chuck Grassley. So this is a big deal, ladies and gentlemen. And our guest takes credit and says, okay, put me in jail for a year, even though he really didn't do anything. He just says, just punish them. So Christian Saucier, thank you for joining us.
Back on, Alex.
So we only got like 8-9 minutes. You got the floor. Tell folks what's happened. And you know, the president's back talking about you in the news and in tweets. What do you make of this?
Well, I make of it that the president's very correctly calling out a clearly corrupt upper echelon of the FBI and the DOJ under the Obama administration, to include Andrew McCabe taking financial donations for his wife's campaign and leaking James Comey, leaking classified information to the press while punishing people like me for doing far less. These are the guys that ran the investigation that destroyed my life for a few pictures that I took because I was proud of where I worked and I wanted to be able to remember it. And by the way, everybody in the military does that. And then let the Hillary Clinton campaign and all of her cronies get a pass for doing a million times worse. The pictures I took were
classified. By the way, you're not exaggerating. I mean, we're talking it's not even comparable.
No, and it's clear, I think, now to the American people that these Huma Abedin emails come out where she sent them to gave them access to a pedophile, that there was clearly some cover up within the FBI and the DOJ at the very same time that they were prosecuting me for the minorest of infractions, which is usually
You forget. You didn't mention what my problem is to mention it. It takes hours. You've got like 20 something of the 26 people and already resigned or gone or retired. You've got Org or whatever his name is giving $2 million to his wife, heading up the Fusion GPS fake PP. He's giving his wife $2 million. I mean, that right. Oh. I mean, this is and it's all made up.
Yeah, it's a criminal cabal. Headed by the Obama administration, and Loretta Lynch is right on board, meeting on an airplane tarmac with a target of investigation spouse, and that reeks of all kinds of misconduct. But the American people are just now seeing it because we have a president who's not afraid to call out the people that are doing illegal acts that are at the top of the echelon, the elites. He's not afraid to call out Hillary Clinton and say, what the heck is going on?
And they're
here?
Even in the news calling him mentally ill, saying he doesn't do politics or inside deals. He only cares about the people. He's an idiot.
Yeah, well, because he's calling out the people that run this country in the dark rooms, in the dark alleys. And he's not afraid to, because he's a president for the people. And so the first way to discredit him is to try to call him mentally unstable, which is anything but true.
I agree. You know? Shouldn't he, just like he's getting ready with Assange, he's already done it judicially, pardon you just to expose, so when they attack him, he can even more point out what Hillary did?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think he would send a very clear example if he pardoned me. Don't get me wrong. My life's been destroyed. Pardoning me would definitely help me restore my good name. But I think more importantly, it would send a message to the American people and to the people who serve in the military. I served 11 years honorably. I'm proud of my service. I wasn't a traitor like Bo Bergdahl or Bradley Manning. I served my country. I did 2 deployments to the Middle East. I never left anybody behind. And I would go back and do it again. I would gladly give my life for this country.
Well, let me ask you this. I don't buy that they found the camera in a landfill. It sounds like you were the victim of an intelligence operation.
My ex-wife turned over the camera because she was ticked off at me, and she knew I had the
pictures on there. And then she just said it was in a landfill.
Well, her friend that worked at the landfill said he discovered it.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. But, yeah. So, I mean, what more important, though, is just the fact that these people are allowed to get away with the far more serious offense when, if anything, my case should have served as an example of why they should have been prosecuted. If they're willing to go after me for low-level class.
Or Petraeus.
I went to prison for a year. My life was destroyed. all the skills that I learned in the Navy and that I served 11 years doing, operating nuclear power plants. Right now, I work as a trash collector. That was the only job I could get. Don't get me wrong. I'm proud to be working and contributing to society because I'm not going to be a deadbeat living off welfare. But I, you know, it's upsetting that, that when I go to apply to employers, then they,
you know, maybe we should hire you as a reporter because I'm about to launch a bunch of new shows. We've decided to do it, even though we're under attack and every. Let's talk this week. We got about a minute and a half left. What do you make of record unemployment, employment for blacks, record economy coming back? And they're saying Trump is Armageddon. He would destroy the economy and the left won't give him any credit for it.
I think they just won't admit it. I mean, they don't want to admit that they've been wrong all this time. CNN, all the liberal news networks just don't want to admit that they were wrong. They haven't covered my story at all because they don't want to, because it proves that there's a double standard of justice and that they're, you know, it's all sycophants to this Hillary Clinton is perfect.
Well, exactly. I don't like Petraeus for his globalism, but he's not all bad.
Yep.
But he took home some files and some operative woman set him up for that. A general can't take files home? I mean, this is ridiculous.
But I'll tell you what, the sick part about the Obama administration is they were more than willing to use somebody like me who honorably served in the military as an example, you know, and throw us under the bus and use us for political gain. I mean, even Bo Bergdahl, he used for political gain. I mean, he called him a hero when he knew he was a traitor just so he could get people released from Guantanamo. So, you know, I think President Trump, by pardoning me, would send a very clear message to the people of the military who constantly put their lives on the line defending freedom and democracy.
I agree. That was my final question, that he'll stand by him. What do you think about the word that he may pardon Assange and is already into the grand jury and things?
Well, I think Julian Assange, for all that they're, you know, the complaints that people have against him, he's putting the truth out there. He was not afraid to put out the truth about Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton plays herself off as this liberal, but she's one of the worst people in this country. She has sold our country out on numerous occasions, and Julian Assange wasn't afraid to put that out so that the world could see. And I think that, to some extent, that's what we need. We need people like Trump and Assange who are willing to speak the truth, regardless of the blowback that they're going to receive, because that's the most powerful weapon we have in a society where a liberal media tries to tell us how to live.
Christian Saucier, help ChristianSaucier.com. I'm serious. I want to get you as a contributor because you're always so smart when you have you on. I'm like, oh my God, there's all these great people. I want to start all these new roundtable shows, go live 24 hours a day very soon at InfoWars.com and NewsWars.com. Thank you so much. I'm glad the president is exposing what happened to you because it's justice. Thank you so much. Finally, a voice for the people. We'll be back with Key Intel straight ahead. Stay with us.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Welcome back. I'm Alex Jones, your host here on this live Sunday global transmission. As I said many times earlier in tonight's transmission or in weeks, months, and years previous, what we see the globalists really doing is not just assaulting the truth itself, but attacking the very underpinning of genetic creation on this planet, trying to break down the way plants reproduce, the way animals reproduce, the way reptiles reproduce, attempting to really artificially take control of the system and capture creation within a synthetic Terminator gene program. That is the advanced but wicked intelligence that we Christians call the devil, that others just call plain evil, that is animating and manipulating the servants of this system. And the servants of this system are not even really getting any true power out of what they do. They get some temporal power, they get some petty power, but it's completely empty within the current power structure. It is a dehumanizing power. Any worldly power they get, they lose at the expense of their soul, of their spirit. So, I've been trying to figure out why I get so mad when the globalists lie about Donald Trump or put out their talking points or misrepresent. And it's because I realize it's a fundamental attack on the truth. Not that Donald Trump is truth or that I'm perfect truth, but that we are worshiping the truth, which is God. That we are trying to be good and honorable and strong, and we believe in a civilization and a world that'll be good for our children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, times 1,000 generations to live in. We're not out to totally control and dominate the public and turn them into our slaves. And so it is the very human condition and the very social compact that is under attack by the globalists. They are consciously adherents to corruption. Because to give in to evil, to give in to manipulation, to give in to cheating, well, you got to give in to it completely. There's no half measures with evil. It always gets worse or it gets better. There is no equilibrium or great balance that we're always hearing about from the Luciferians. The truth is, the only balance is the struggle between good and evil. But you're either pulling towards good or you're pulling towards evil. And they have consciously decided that humanity's crap, that their own children are garbage, and that they want to write a hate letter to humanity. But if you just study history or common sense, 2 + 2 = 4, or how do you judge an apple tree? Well, does it grow juicy, sweet, plentiful apples? How do you judge a plum tree? How do you judge a line of potato seeds? Are they big? Do they grow in drought-ridden weather? Are they tasty? Are they pest-resistant? Do they last a long time after you've dug them out of the ground? How do you judge a spring? Is it clear? Is it pure? Does it taste good? Is it healthy? How do you judge a liar? Do they betray you? Do they lie to you over and over again? It's the same thing. And as I covered earlier, we should probably put this up on screen behind me if we can. Infowars.com has the article. Even NBC News was forced to cover it, but Zero Hedge has an excellent breakdown of it. Another false narrative, black unemployment at record lows. And there's a graph that in the history, since they've been recording black unemployment, it is the lowest it has ever been, and wages, even adjusted for inflation, are the highest for African Americans in just 1 year. We're 11 months and, 15 days or something? 20 days? Coming up on the 20th is the one-year anniversary. We're less than a year in, and we already have the best black employment numbers we've ever had. We've got the best general numbers since 1984. We've got a 25,000 stock market. We've got 2,000-plus companies announcing they're coming back. You know, I've seen the media go, oh, look, Donald Trump in the White House copy Alex Jones' talking points, which really 99% of the time is not true, though I'd love to flatter myself and say that. But when I see White House talking points, a lot of times the same time I put them out or a day early or a day after, it varies. Why is it so similar to what I say and vice versa? Not because we're talking or conferring or lining it up, but because we're looking at the facts. We're looking at the reality. So see, we don't have to get together in some smoky room and come up with what the talking point is, because the truth doesn't have talking points. You can put the truth together and look at what's happened and have those talking points, but the truth doesn't need to line up a teleprompter message. The truth is based in the fruit. You may have a big old bushy, pretty plum tree. I remember my grandma had a bunch of plum trees growing out in front of her house and apple trees, you name it. And I remember her looking out saying, that's a big old pretty plum tree, but it's bigger than all the others. Don't you see some? And I was like 8 years old standing there one summer. And I said, yes. To Patty Jones. And she said, I'm going to have them cut that down. She said, you know, it's a pretty tree, son. It's not producing any plums. But she said, you see those other little smaller trees? They're full of plums. See that one? It's hanging down to the ground with plums that I can turn into plum jelly and give to our friends and family, and we can eat. And she was giving me a parable right then. I didn't realize how smart she was, always educating, always giving me archetypes, always showing me. But now we don't hang out with our grandmothers on the front porch for 3-4 hours drinking lemonade, eating cookies. No, we play Xbox and we watch the NFL. And I'm not saying that's pure evil. It just distracts us from our real humanity. And so you judge a tree by its fruits. And by every yardstick, not the rhetoric, not the talk, but what's been deployed, Trump has delivered. You know, they come out as we predicted, as we didn't predict, as we were told by sources, as we broke, keep saying predicted, as we broke, back in April, back in March, back in May. You play those clips many times. We need to play them here again with our sources, Roger Stone and others, that they would then say he has Alzheimer's, he's mentally ill. Wow, well, how bad was the previous controllers if you believe their story he has Alzheimer's, which obviously isn't true. And we've got the best unemployment numbers ever, the best for blacks, the best for whites, the best for Hispanics. We've got the best new jobs numbers, the best small business numbers, the best stock market ever. And optimism coming back in because he simply removed the boot from our neck, at least partially. His job was pretty easy if he could get into the presidency and not be killed because the globalists were artificially doing this. And then he said, you know, I've been huge in real estate and successful, and I've been number one on TV, and then out of nowhere, never running for office, which nobody does, just never ran for office, then you first time you win the presidency against all odds. I'd say that's pretty genius. And, you know, Trump wasn't bragging there. It was genius. And you were genius going up against the globalists and mainstream media and them demonizing you and them trying to demoralize you and them attacking you. You had the innate spiritual genius of discernment to not go with the crowd and the lie, but to head down, do what's right, and then see the real evidence of goodness, which is delivering on your promises and prosperity and standing up for the innocents and standing up for Christianity and standing against the bullies and the thugs and the controllers. And that said, what Trump has done is beyond genius. It is honor. It is strength. It is will. It is divine providence, just like George Washington witnessed. And we are seeing 245 years after the founding of our nation, the oxygen coming back into the room. And here's the key when I come back. It's a test. If we reject this, God always gives you a test, especially a nation like America he loves. If we reject this, the hedge will be lowered and the real evil will be let in. This is our final chance. Right back.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
There are many secrets in this world, but all of them are basically prima facie. They're on its face. But the master does not appear until the student is ready. That's an old Zen saying, and it's absolutely true. Trump, and I could instinctually, but also in a Machiavellian way, see this 3 years ago when this all started, saw the global wave against the globalist, and he knew that when he bound himself to this, that his entire destiny and everything he had been, was, and would be, and his very family name would be inexorably tied, in a good way, the way metaphysically in the archetype of J.R.R. Tolkien's Lord of the Rings, Sauron's soul was tied to the ring. And so, with Trump, in a good way, delivering and producing good fruit and doing what he said he would do and being in your corner is what sets up his family for an incredible, unparalleled historical dynasty. And with power, things tend to get corrupt. With absolute power, corrupts absolutely, to quote Lord Acton. But I spiritually, at a discernment level, do not pick up evil from Trump. Is a dynasty the best thing in the world? Probably not. But the point is that Trump's already been everywhere. He's already seen it all. And you see the response by true evil that is real. And that tells you Trump's for real. But then you see what he's claimed he would do being delivered. the tax cuts, securing the borders, the sovereignty, taking care of the veterans, boosting the market, bringing jobs back, standing up against the communist Chinese that are oppressing their own people and bringing our jobs back. On and on and on. I'm not going to list it all. The globalists didn't build all this to just reverse it at the end. They didn't just construct all this to then have it all turned on its head. And that's why they're fighting for their lives. So the big secret of Trump is, in the collective will, in the collective zeitgeist, in the collective unconscious, in the internet of the mind, in the sixth sense, Trump is us. And he's channeling the will of the people to have a strong male leader that the globalists fear stand against them. So he is a reflection and a shadow and an echo of the will of those that came before us to empower the species. Trump is a manifestation of the life force coming out of a long stage of hibernation, the life force coming out of a coma and being manifest again. And that's why, despite all the attacks and all the demonization and all the talking points and all the dirty tricks, everything they do turns against them because Trump has turned himself over to destiny. And not some evil destiny to burn down the world, but the destiny of building a better world and committing honorably to that path. That's when God gets involved, when you line yourself up in the right time in history with other people that are lined up as well as the planets align culturally, spiritually, metaphysically. I don't mean literally. As that season enters, humanity then has that great choice of where they want to go in the future. So that's why the enemy hates him so much. And I happened along a AOL compilation video today, this morning when I was doing research. And I watched like 30 minutes of video after video of just the Sunday and Saturday news shows, ABC, NBC, CBS, MSNBC. And it was all the same talking point. Bannon's in trouble, even though we disagree with him, because Trump doesn't stand for anything. And so Bannon doesn't know how to deal with somebody that's such a psychopath and so fake. And this is Al Sharpton telling us this. And then we go to the next clip and the next clip and the next clip of Michael Wolff, the known fraud, and the next fraud, and the next fraud, and the next fraud. But there was the proof of the fraud that they're all telling me he's not real. But then everything I see is real and happening to their horror and against their plan. And all over the world, men and women are standing up against globalism and saying no and bringing back sovereignty and bringing back the family and bringing back what Hollywood and this whole satanic poisonous system that wants to stun us to control us before it takes us over. So there are really five pillars to this whole thing. And most important is spirit. And then is shelter and food and medicine. Those are all real, those five. But what are the frauds? Status, where you are in the perch, and magic, imaginary thinking, delusions, imagining you're something you're not because you have God's seed in you. You have the ultimate potential, but that doesn't mean you have gone through the stages that this species has to go through. Just because you can imagine the mind of God, just because you can commune with the mind of God, just because you can interface with that, does not mean you are that. With great wisdom comes great sorrow. And then you learn the wicked flee when none pursue. And then you understand that these people want power, but they don't want responsibility. They want the castles and the red carpets. When the red carpets were paid in the blood of those countries they'd conquered. We don't walk on red carpets. We walk on the gates to the heavens, indescribably beautiful. Deepest blue with stars and planets in the firmament. We are walking on the blue carpet of life with our soul interfacing with God and all of time before us and all of time to flow out from this moment and the attempt of some people who weren't Satanist, who weren't pedophiles, some people who really believed in humanity, who'd already been at the tops of power and maybe even delved into the darkness, as I have done, and pulled back and said, I want Christ, who'd done the parasitic things, the casinos and the structure, and found that there's nothing there on earth. There is only God and our connection to God. And that's the big secret. They do everything to take your food, your shelter, your medication, your spirit, your defense, to make you the opposite of independent, dependent. And that's the big secret. And then you see Trump under attack, gone through the fire, stronger than ever, standing there at Camp David, laying out the truth, and saying, it is genius what we did together to come from nowhere against the entire globalist odds and win the presidency and then get the tax cuts and everything they didn't want, the prosperity, because they want to make us dependent, to break their back in less than 1 year. If that isn't genius, nothing is. But bigger than genius, it was destiny, it was providence, and it was courage. Here's the president.
You were talking about the policy issues that you all were focusing on the last few days here at Camp David, but this morning you were tweeting about your mental state. Why did you feel the need to tweet about that this morning?
Well, only because I went to the best colleges or college. I had a situation where I was a very excellent student, came out, made billions and billions of dollars, became one of the top business people, went to television, and for 10 years was a tremendous success, as you probably have heard, ran for president one time and won. And then I hear this guy that doesn't know me at all, by the way, did not interview me for three. He said he interviewed me for 3 hours in the White House. It didn't exist. OK, it's in his imagination. And what I was heartened by, because I talk about fake news and the fake news media, was the fact that so many of the people that I talk about in terms of fake news actually came to the defense of this great administration and even myself, because they know the author and they know he's a fraud. And when I saw some of the people say, and you look at some of his past books, he did a book on Rupert Murdoch. It was a terrible expose, and it was false. So much of it was false. I consider it a work of fiction. And I think it's a disgrace that somebody's able to have something, do something like that. The libel laws are very weak in this country. If they were strong, it would be very helpful. You wouldn't have things like that happen where you can say whatever comes to your head. But just so you know, I never interviewed with him in the White House at all. He was never in the Oval Office. We didn't have an interview. I did a quick interview with him a long time ago having to do with an article. But I don't know this man. I guess Sloppy Steve brought him into the White House quite a bit, and it was one of those things. That's why Sloppy Steve is now looking for a job. Okay, who else do you have? Yes.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic, it's Alex Jones.